سوق المال and Yabi founder Ambareen Moussa joins Revolut as UAE CEO and Saudi Arabia unemployment falls to 3.3% in the second quarter of 2024. And finally, Lulu Group likely to drop Tadawul leg of for IPO for Abu Dhabi only listing. Okay, that was a mouthful.
That's a lot of stories.
Yes, yeah. but a very big story in the business world. MGX, which is Abu Dhabi based
AI investment firm.
Yeah, so they have contributed to OpenAI and they have raised $6.6 billion, which makes the startup valued, and it is a startup, and it's valued at $157 billion in a record-breaking VC round.
Yeah, it's the biggest single VC round of $6.6 billion that the world has ever seen for any startup.
Yeah.
Ever. So
makes sense that it's OpenAI.
And OpenAI, and yes, obviously their product ChatGPT was like the start of generative AI. They before that we had a lot of small ideas. We used to use copy edit and there's a lot of things that were there. But generative AI wise, ChatGPT set the trend that this is how the future will look like with pictures, with text, with everything. And right now they have 10 million paid users. Yeah. It's not just a small startup now. They have 10 million paid users, apart from the free users that they have, a total of 150 million nearly, or 250 million.
So most of the investments came from Thrive, and they invested around $1.3 billion. And also, they had the exclusive option to invest up to $1 billion at the same valuation through the next year. Yes. And so Microsoft, NVIDIA, SoftBank, Costla Ventures, Altimeter Capital, Fidelity, and finally Abu Dhabi's MGX, which is our main interest, also participated in the fundraising.
Yeah, there were reports before, like 1-2 weeks ago, that MGX is going to participate, but there was no confirmation from them or their main funders, main supporters of Mubadala or G42. There was no confirmation. But finally, when this happened last night, actually in the US it was a normal day, but in the UAE and in the Middle East it was late evening. Mm-hmm. So the round closed, MGX was named as one of the investors which contributed to the $6.6 billion investment. Again, this evaluation, this new valuation of $157 billion, makes OpenAI the third biggest startup with the most money. The first on the top is ByteDance, which are the owners of TikTok. TikTok is very big. After that, it's SpaceX, Elon Musk's space ventures firm. And then there's OpenAI. Mm-hmm. So they're not the biggest company in terms of evaluation. They're on the third number. But the round that declared was $6.6 billion, the biggest in the history of startups ever in VC funding.
Yes.
So this, very big news.
Yeah, so apparently this funding is pretty crucial for how OpenAI functions, because ChatGPT alone is said to have cost $700,000 per day to operate. So whenever you're using ChatGPT, just think of the amount of money that goes into for that to work for you, for the AI system to work.
Somewhere like 1 or 2 weeks ago, it wasn't like a clear report, but it said that according to some estimates, generating nearly 100 words from ChatGPT takes like 100 glasses of water, because the servers that are there, the data centers, they all need cooling down. So it nearly costs 100 glasses of water to create 100 words. That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but data centers need cooling because they're constantly working 24/7, 365 days. Like us journalists, they're also working throughout the time and they need to be cooled down. So next time you're talking to ChatGPT, just for fun, think about it that you're wasting a lot of water. But that's one side of the story. ChatGPT itself has 250 million users, as I was talking about, 10 million paying subscribers. The going rate right now is that you can use ChatGPT Plus and all the services that come with it for $20 per month right now. That's the rate at which they're working. But some reports have also suggested that they may raise that price to nearly $44 per month, because a lot of industry gossip, a lot of industry news reports are saying that this company, which is right now non-profit, will go towards for-profit. Mm-hmm. And all these investors that have invested, they have been promised that in the next 1 or 2 years, the company will complete its shift.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons that the 13 founders which made OpenAI and then ChatGPT, only three are left. And one of them is Sam Altman, mm-hmm. the face of ChatGPT and OpenAI. So this is all happening in the world of OpenAI and AI itself.
Yeah, but also they're trying to become to have a revenue of $100 billion by 2029, when right now they have an annual revenue of $3.4 billion. So there's quite a that's quite a big step from their current revenues. And I'm guessing that's to appease to the investors, you know, that have put a lot of money into OpenAI.
And again, in the Wall Street Journal report and the TechCrunch report, both I read that if these investors don't get some kind of promises that they've been done in terms of money or in terms of management change, the structural change of the company, they can retract their money. So it is for sure going towards a for-profit organization. And you will soon have to pay more to use OpenAI's advanced services. The free services are there already. They're very good, to be honest. Every day, OpenAI, ChatGPT allows you to do some, like what I've seen, what I've used, I also use ChatGPT, everyone uses it. Not
it's
for
no
research
secret.
Purposes, but mainly for ideas. For writers, it's a very good tool that you can bounce off headline ideas, text ideas, angles of news story. So it's a very good tool.
Yeah,
you don't need to disturb a person.
Yeah, and also it's good for those long articles when you don't have the time to read through or skim through even. You can just paste it onto ChatGPT and it'll give you like the gist of it.
The gist of it, the summary of everything. Yeah, it's good to have that. Apart from that, there's a lot of uses. When you use ChatGPT, you go to the GPTs made by people. Or the companies, they're also very good. One of the ones that I use usually is Scholar GPT. It's by OpenAI itself, that GPT. So that helps you do all the research. It has like access to 3 million or 4 million research papers. Mm-hmm. So if you're finding some literature for your research, it can give you those with links and everything. So that's one of the GPTs that I use because sometimes there is information that needs checking.
Yeah.
So now it's going towards surfing as well. The thing I was talking about, usually ChatGPT's paid version allows you to help do internet surfing. But in the free version, you can do nearly 10 or 12 internet surfs every day as well. So that helps. You don't have to like Google and then read 10 articles and find the information. Can just ask ChatGPT to do the research for you now as well. So it's making processes very simple, very easy for a lot of industries. In the morning, I saw a post. I don't know. I didn't verify it. I'm really sorry, but I had to check it like from 2-3 sources. But apparently, Microsoft CEO Bill Gates has given a 3-point agenda or 3-point suggestions and fears. One of them is that what will happen when AI eats up a lot of jobs? So he's concerned about that.
I think the whole world is concerned about that.
We know about Bill Gates' philanthropy and all the things that are running under the Melinda Gates Foundation. They're trying to eradicate polio, poverty, nutrition as well. So all these things, he's scared that what will happen to those people.
Yeah.
And apart from that, he's also scared that what if AI becomes independent?
That's a very
far-fetched idea.
That's a very valid concern, but at the same time, it's like a lot of institutions and companies and whatnot are not prioritizing, but they're using AI to their advantage and not as a way to eat up existing jobs, at least for the most part. That's
Recently, I read a report, I don't know why when you talk about ChatGPT, AI and OpenAI, you have read a lot of stuff. The report was about renewable energy, that renewable energy is creating a lot of jobs for a lot of people in the world, and China was the main hub. But in that report, there was a mention of AI as well, that a lot of renewable energy projects are now using AI to streamline the processes, streamline the structures, management, this and that. In that report, it also said that AI, people with AI knowledge or AI skills get a better chance at getting renewable energy jobs now. So, yeah, that was just like a small part that I was like, okay, this is there also. So it is creating jobs as well. It's not just taking the jobs, it's creating jobs. And I guess now people have more time to focus on their creativity, I guess, because usually when I used to write back in the days when there was no ChatGPT, if I was writing a thesis of 20,000 words, I had to like sit down and type it out, literally type it out, every word, source it, this and that. Now with that, a lot of my time is saved. If I want to write 20,000 words now, if I use ChatGPT properly in a correct way, it will take me hardly 2 or 3 hours. That time it took me like nearly a month to like verify and then cite and everything. Now it can write in AP style, Chicago style, any style you want. That's crazy. So yeah, OpenAI has done the biggest VC funding round in the history of startups.
So we spent 11 minutes on the first story. So let's
It's a big story. It deserves the attention. Yeah, that's true. But let's talk about MGX before we move on to the other stories. Yeah. We'll have a smaller discussion on them. MGX is basically backed by G42 and it is also backed by Mubadala. It was created last year as an investment arm to invest in AI projects. So MGX itself is an AI created, an entity which was created for AI investment.
And so its focus is AI.
And the head of MGX is Sheikh Tanun. He is also the head of G42. He was recently named in Times 100 list for most influential people in artificial intelligence. So this move needs to be discussed as well, that UAE is investing in AI. Saudi is also investing in AI. So this move by MGX is a very big move from the UAE, directly putting money into one of the biggest AI startups in the world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our second story of the day. So Souq Al-Mal and Yabi founder Ambarin Moussa, or Ambarin Moussa, I think that's how you say it, joined Revolut as UAE CEO. So Ambarin is the founder of Souq Al-Mal, and Yabi, Yabi is sort of like a...
fintech like education platform.
Yeah, it's more business to business. Yeah. And actually, their most notable clients are Majid Al-Futaim, Karim, Shalhoub and Al Ghurair, so pretty big businesses. And so, she has just been appointed as Revolut's UAE CEO, and she'll obviously oversee the UAE operations. And she announced this on LinkedIn. And so it's a very significant career move by her after over a decade of shaping the financial landscape of the MENA region. And so, she founded Souq Al-Mal in 2012 and later launched Yabi. And she's been named as one of the top 50 most influential women in the Arab world. And she's also received numerous awards, including the Woman Entrepreneur of the Year. So pretty big. Big awards. And her appointment coincides with Revolut's growing presence in the UAE. And the company has applied for an electronic money institution license from the Central Bank of the UAE. So they're not currently, they don't have an office here or anything. Yeah. But I believe you can send money from the UK to here.
You can use it, but registered wise, legally, I don't know. To be honest, I'm not really clear on it. But Revolut is one of the biggest service that is used for remittances. So you can, if you're earning in pounds, you can send it back in dirhams. So Revolut became famous because of remittances, and they're also cards which can be used as debit or credit cards. They recently got a banking license to be considered as a proper complete bank in the UK, and they were valued at $45 billion. It's a very big number when you compare it to a lot of banks in the UK, because a lot of banks, the smaller banks in the UK, are valued under it. So that is why Revolut is becoming a big phenomenon in the world. But largely, their market is the UK right now. And this is their expansion strategy. They're coming to the UAE, they're going to Saudi, they're going to launch in India. We did a report about that, that they're planning to launch in India. They have an India office, and they have nearly 4,000 people working there. So they're testing their services on their people, on their employees. So their employees are already using this service, Revolut, in India. So they're testing it out, and they'll launch in 2025 in India. UAE, they've announced the CEO, so obviously they'll now start setting up everything.
Pretty soon, I think they'll announce.
And again, the application processes are not that difficult in the UAE. They're very expedited, very quick, very digital. So soon they'll get a license to work as a remittance service. But the eventual plan is to become a bank in the UAE as well, an online bank, an online app-based bank. So yes, this is happening. And Amreen Musa, she told you all about her. She has a very big portfolio and more than a decade of experience in the industry. So she understands the consumer behavior.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So hiring her is a very big move by Revolut. It shows that they're not resting on their laurels of 45 billion. They want to become bigger. Mm-hmm. And they've hired Amreen Musa just for that reason. Let's see how it pans out in the future.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next story. So Saudi Arabia's unemployment falls to 3.3 in the second quarter of 2024. Their total unemployment fell with a 0.8% drop year on year, according to the latest report from the Saudi General Authority for Statistics. And then for Saudi citizens, the number dropped to 7.1%, while for expats, it decreased to 1.1%.
Yeah. So the idea is that they're trying to give more employment to Saudis, the Saudization process, which we call nationalization as well. They're focusing on it to give more jobs to Saudi nationals.
Yeah.
And not give them just jobs, give them good, high-paying, quality jobs.
Yes.
So this decrease shows that they're, whatever they're doing is working.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing.
Yeah.
Apart from that, the non-expat population, and we already know that UAE, Saudi Arabia, they're the biggest markets for expats. Pakistanis love to come to these countries, earn and send money back. Indians love it. Everyone, a lot of countries love to come to these regions. So that is why the expat number that you see is 1.1%.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone who goes there goes for a job.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Most probably 1.1% is the new people who are coming out of universities and now they're looking for jobs. So eventually they will get it. So for Saudi citizens, the good part was what I noticed was the women numbers about women. So it highlights that 35.4% of the Saudi women are now employed. That's a very big number.
That's great news.
Yeah, and despite a quarterly dip in the participation, very negligible, the year-on-year increase in women's labor force participation increased actually by 0.6%. And again, supported by the reforms, social reforms that they want to bring women into the corporate structure, private jobs, government jobs, everything.
Yeah, and they're not only going to work into government jobs. There's been a a notable 95.5% of unemployed Saudis are willing to work in the private sector, and you know this obviously reflects their ongoing economic diversification efforts.
Yeah.
Because they know that if you diversify and go into private, it's also a big thing for the country.
Yeah.
It helps the country's economy in many ways. Again, with Saudi women, they're showing a growing willingness to accept longer commutes, while men are more open to work long hours. And this is a shift in the labor market, where I think previously it was a bit different from what it is right now.
Yeah, the numbers that I saw were like women are more, again, accepting for longer hours, because usually women they want a very strict 9-to-5 job or this and that, because sometimes the onus is on them to handle family. But now the trend is changing. Men are contributing more to the house and women are contributing more to the economy and the job scene as well. So good report to come out. Great numbers to see. Saudi Arabia, Saudi Vision 2030, 1,467 time I'm mentioning.
Exactly.
I'll keep counting it. But Saudi Vision 2030 is doing great things for Saudi Arabia. And this is one of the examples.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on to our final story of the day. Lulu Group likely to drop Tadawul leg for Abu Dhabi only listing. So Lulu Group, we also recently reported on them when they, I think, decided they're going to go on the public
dual
stock
listing,
market. Yeah, dual listing. They're a major UAE-based supermarket operator.
Everyone knows Lulu Hypermarket.
Everybody knows, it's like the more affordable Carrefour or whatever other supermarket. It's actually a hypermarket.
Yeah.
So they're expected to abandon those plans for a dual IPO listing. Previously, they said they were going to go on Saudi Arabia's Tadawul and Abu Dhabi Exchange, ADX. But now, most likely, they're only going on ADX listings. And this deal is projected to be one of the largest UAE IPOs of 2024 with an estimated $1.5 billion offering.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's been a bunch of offerings, deals.
Talabat is going for an IPO.
Yeah, exactly.
Etihad Airways is planning for 2025. The list on the top of my mind, which I can remember, we talked about Saudi Majid Al Oud, right?
Majid Al Oud,
that is going for IPO. So the whole region is becoming an IPO center. So this mainly, when you talk about this, everyone thinks that maybe there's financials involved. But what the bankers are saying, which are involved in this transaction, they're saying it's because of the regulatory approvals. It's not about money. They'll get money from both the places. They want to get money from both the places. The only problem is that listing on Saudi Tadawul is a longer process than ADX. So they don't want to get into that paperwork. Mm. That is why they're listing it on ADX for now.
I think it's more convenient.
Yeah, it's more convenient for the time because they want to do it by the end, before the end of the year. So that is why they're just going on ADX. But the plans are there to go on Saudi Tadawul. So most probably next year we'll see them going for Tadawul, the Saudi exchange, the main market.
Yeah.
And what I saw is the last case of a dual listing was by Americana Foods or something. And even the report also says that it was very difficult for them to handle both the markets. So maybe they're taking an example from them and just like, okay, we'll delay at the Tadawul offering.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to get they're offering $1.5 billion worth of shares.
Yeah.
Obviously, institutional investors, individual investors. Then sometimes there's also a percentage of shares for the people who've already invested privately into the company. Mm. So let's see, it's going to be a good round of fundraising through shares.
Mm-hmm.
And the main idea is expansion. Lulu wants to expand to other markets. And that is why they're trying to raise this $1.5 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And soon it will happen before the end of the year,
and
at least
knows,
on ADX.
And maybe they will expand, they'll go on Tadawul as well.
Yeah.
But there will be slightly less Saudi involvement in the IPO because of the loss of a local retail offering. So there is that, but who knows, maybe they'll expand and it'll be easier to go into Tadawul in the future.
They have a lot of competition in Saudi from the Bin Hashim. I don't even exactly remember the company name, but when I went to Saudi, I asked for a supermarket and someone said Bin something, exactly don't remember the name, but if Saudi people are listening, they would have guessed it by now. So that is the main competition for Lulu in that Saudi market. Right now in Abu Dhabi and in the UAE, Lulu competes with Carrefour mainly or Spinneys, but Spinneys is very high end, more expensive to be honest. In very layman terms, Spinneys, you buy tomatoes, it'll be like 15 dirhams. On Lulu, it will be two and a half, three dirhams. So comparatively, price wise, Lulu doesn't compete. Bin Daud, Bin Daud is like one of the biggest competitors in that market. It's a very local supermarket brand.
Mm-hmm.
So wherever I went in Saudi, I was like, supermarket, and they're like, Bin Daud. So yeah, that is why they're delaying Saudi leg and focusing on ADX because, again, they're born from Abu Dhabi. They have like the biggest stores. Now they have biggest shopping malls here in the UAE. So yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Business-wise, makes sense to go on ADX first and then later on Tadawul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is all we discussed. We discussed a lot today. MGX, Abu Dhabi-based AI investment firm, has contributed to the OpenAI $6.6 billion VC funding round. It's backed by G42 and Mubadala. Apart from that, Revolut, which is a $45 billion giant, banking giant in the UK, they're expanding and they've applied for licenses in the UAE. And now, finally, they've taken the first big step and appointed a UAE CEO, Ambareen Musa, who comes with 10 years of experience. She's the founder of Souq al-Maal and Yaabi. Yaabi is a fintech type of education platform, only 2 years old. It's not that old. But Souq al-Maal has been here for like 12 years now. And she exited Souq al-Maal actually in 2022. Apart from that, Saudi unemployment is falling. Things are getting better for employment opportunities in the kingdom. And lastly, Lulu Group will only list on Abu Dhabi Exchange, that is ADX, by the end of this year. And they're postponing their IPO to Saudi Arabia. Most probably they'll do it in the first or second quarter of 2025. Yeah.
So if you missed the first half of the show, or if you want to rewatch any of the other episodes, you can always find us on all these streaming platforms like Anghami, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also find us on all social media sites like TikTok, Instagram, X, Facebook, and YouTube. Thank you for joining us on the Smash the Business show.
Sorry to
cut me off right as I was
cutting
saying the intro.
Her Go off, ahead. But we have a guest tomorrow.
We do have a guest tomorrow, yes. So make sure to tune in for that, actually. It's
and
a very interesting
tomorrow
business.
Tomorrow is Hind's last show
it's
as well.
It's my last show
She's
as well.
She's ending her internship with us.
Yes.
We want her to stay, but she doesn't want to. Like, she has plans. Good. We hope her the best, but tomorrow is going to be her last show. And apart from that, we'll have a guest also.
Yes.
So do catch you. Us tomorrow.
So thank you for joining us on the Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production, part of the Augustus Media Podcast Network. We'll see you tomorrow.